Welcome to Weekly, the show where we recap the week for you. Supporters of the Eurogamer website get these episodes every Friday, whereas everyone else listens from Monday. You can find out more about supporting us in the description below. I'm Bertie, a long-time writer for Eurogamer, and joining me today are guide editor Lottie Lynn. Hi, Lottie.
Hiya.
And all the way over from YouTube land, a far off distant place, it's video celebrity Ian Higton.
Hiya. Hey, Bertie, your voice is wonderful. I listen to a lot of sleep podcasts, but if you could narrate one of them for me, I think...
I would love to.
It's very relaxing.
I would absolutely love to do that. I think
Sleep Time with Bertie, I would listen to that.
Another way of looking at what you're saying is that my voice is boring.
No, it's relaxed. It's nice. It's got a nice, just mellow melody to it. I love it.
Thank you very much. So some actual games came out this week, even though it was hotter than an actual oven here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The games that came out were the Cat Game Stray and an interactive movie game called As Dusk Falls. And we'll get onto those in a moment. But before we do, Ian, there's a bit of a reshuffle going on in Videoland because Aoife is now on maternity leave, I believe, and having a baby, which is very exciting.
That's true. Yes. Mini Aoife is due pretty soon, I think. So wow. She's left for maternity leave. Just leaving Zoe and I to keep things afloat. And try not to set fire to things. It's not just Zoe and I, though. We do have a video producer, like a background
right,
video
so
producer.
Right, so someone's come in to help.
Production. Yes, Richard. He will be helping with edits. And if we go out on location shoots, he'll come along with his camera equipment and stuff and film us. So we used to do a video every day of the week. We're still going to try and do as many videos as we can per week. But occasionally that number will drop down just now because we have, you know, we've gone from 3 to 2.5 video producers basically because Richard is freelance.
Awesome. Okay, we're looking forward to seeing what you guys come up with and also what Aoife comes up with.
Yes,
it's very exciting.
Yeah. Hey, when does this come out?
This comes out on Friday, so tomorrow.
On Friday, or maybe Aoife. I've sent Aoife a present, but I wanted to say what it was, but I better not.
don't spoil
it. It might be something like that. Might be something to do with that.
Fantastic. Ian is pointing at his T-shirt, his Higton's original jorts. There's a whole thing with Ian and jorts, if you don't know what we're talking about. There's also a new face on the team, the Eurogamer team this week, in Liv Ngan, who is our new work experience reporter. So please, everyone, make her feel welcome in the comments of her stories when you read those. So let's jump into it. So before we talk about Stray, which I know you've both been playing, I want to talk about As Dusk Falls. So this is an interactive movie game. There's a Quantic Dream link here in the lady who set up the studio used to work at Quantic Dream. So a similar kind of thing to those games, but also to the Until Dawn, Dark Pictures, Supermassive games. This came out on Tuesday this week on PC and Xbox and Game Pass. It's £25, so it's not a full price game. Lasts about 6 hours, but the intention, I think, is that you keep playing it again to make different choices and go back through it. And it's kind of unusual looking, which is the first thing that jumped out to me. It's got this kind of almost photoreal look, but kind of painted over photo look. And the major thing is that it's not continuously animated like a film or like one of the Supermassive games. It's a series of still images to tell the story, basically, which takes a bit of getting used to because the biggest thing is that the character's lips don't move. So you're looking at a still picture of a face and the voiceover is playing over the top. And it's different to what you're used to with games like this. But it actually, you get used to it really quickly. And actually, it's really effective. It cuts out a lot of that uncanny kind of flab, I'm going to call it, where the uncanniness, sometimes you're inspecting and you're like, oh, well, like in the recent Quarry game, the lips are a bit weird when they're talking. Mm. And sometimes it's really jarring to look at. Also, there's a lot of parts of scenes that you don't really need, and the game kind of cuts this out and gets on with it a much quicker. But the biggest thing that this game does, which I really liked, is that maybe by not having to spend all the time doing that kind of stuff, they allow themselves more times to focus on the story and particularly the characters telling that story. It's the first game of this type that has really spent time kind of rounding out different characters as humans and going into kind of human problems. They're all kind of fleshed out. No one's just chucked in as like a plot device, which is really nice. And doing this allows the game to kind of get into some meatier human issues, addiction, kind of abuse, and eventually suicide, which it signposts. So if there's anything there that you don't want to get into, the game is good at kind of warning you about that in advance. And it touches on some, but it touches in it in a really human way, a kind of believable, relatable way. And it's also got a knack, the game, for keeping the tension up and knowing what's going to make for a difficult decision, because there's nothing like not really caring about the characters or the situation and just kind of unplugging a bit from the scene, because that's what these games are all about sitting there looking at a decision point going, I don't know what to do. I want to do both options, and trying to sort of peer through the screen to see what's going to happen. So I urge people to play it. Yeah, don't be put off by the slightly unusual look, and also the kind of, it looks like it's just based in one small area, but it soon broadens out with the use of flashbacks and things like that. It's a really good game. Keeps the tension.
I've played quite a lot of those choice style games, and they always seem to have a kind of like a fantasy element, whether it's like zombies in The Walking Dead or, you know, Life is Strange with the time travel. This sounds like it's way more mature and like grounded in realism, or does it have
what really encourages me about this is that it's done away with that. It doesn't feel the need to kind of lean on that in order to excite an audience, I suppose. It's, which feels like a step forwards for this kind of subgenre, I suppose. It does, there's still quite a lot going on in the game. It does kind of lean sometimes a bit into soap opera. Sometimes it gets a bit silly. You know, there's some big stuff going on in the game, but it doesn't go into supernatural territory or anything like that. It's good. And like I say, it's not that long. It's a great one to play with other people, just like these other kinds of this games are. There's multiplayer built in. There's even like Twitch integration built in. I think you get to vote on different outcomes in the scenes. So yeah, give it a go. That said, let's move on to Cat Game, also known as Straight. Now, you've both been playing
it. So, fun fact, because as part of my job, I have to look up for trends. One of the most popular trends at the moment literally just is Cat Game. Alongside like everything else, like, you know, Stray Review and people looking for answers for puzzles. Like, it's always Cat Game. It's like staying in there.
It's... But it is that, you know, this... Well, Lottie, I'm going to let you describe it because you reviewed it for Eurogamer. So tell us about, what is this game?
So it is an exploration... Oh, no, that's the right word. Yeah. Yeah. I always get... I've completely lost my thread now all by myself. It's an exploration. There we go. There's a word I know how to pronounce. Of a ruined dystopian city through the eyes of a cat who accidentally falls in. And the city is inhabited by robots. And gradually, for a lot of really clever storytelling techniques, like little bits of environmental storytelling, such as like there's a reoccurring date. If you're paying attention, you'll be able to tell that something happened on a very specific date far long in the past, which relates to the current state of the city. And you're basically trying to get out of the city while helping the robots along the way and realizing how the society structure of the former inhabitants of the city has become to negatively affect the robots.
Okay.
Almost as if like they're in one way copying what was set in place and also ignoring, like humans would, the very obvious growing issue that they might not be able to survive much longer. I think the way the way Blue 12 Studios chose to tell their story is very clever.
So,
because it's very much putting the puzzle pieces together yourself. So like there's like the obvious storyline of cat wants to escape city, but then there's all this background stuff about the city's history and why things are the way they are. And you can piece that together yourself very cleverly.
So is this what cats do every night when we're asleep and they go out? Because I've always wondered, I've got a cat and I often think she's off on a massive adventure. I'm like, she's probably gone right up the road. She's probably talking to people. She's probably in the cyberpunk world. But in reality, she's probably just not going very far. And just
well, isn't it? They think they can. They cats, if you let them out at night, can roam a minimum of 2 miles if they want to. Yeah.
If they want to, I think that's the clincher for my cat.
That's the important thing with cats; they will do something if they want to.
So the remarkable thing about this game is that you play as a cat, right? And how's that? Yep. How does it feel playing as a cat?
It feels great. The movements are is incredibly fluid. It never seems to stutter. And you can basically get into like a kind of like cat parkour mode because you can constantly hold down run and jump at the same time. And it means that the cat will just move. Like there's no hesitation. It's just going boom, 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 boom very quickly. And what I find really fascinating about it is there's no motion capture. This is just what they have created from observing their own cats. Because obviously, you know, if you're going to try and do motion capture on a cat, you got to get the cat to do something.
It's like putting a collar on a cat.
Yeah. It's going to go one of two ways. And the cat's way is going to be the most likely one.
Ian, how have you found it?
I really like it. I was very surprised how kind of emotional it's been, considering the protagonist is a cat and cats famously can't speak or show much emotion.
Yours can't.
And, you know, the rest of them, are, well, that's true. Yeah, mine's evil. And the rest of the players are just robots. The rest of the NPCs are just robots. But yeah, I really liked it. My wife actually volunteers as a cat rescue. It's Cats Protection Society, and she's been playing it as well, and she told me that a stray, actually the definition of a stray is a cat that has been previously owned and lost or abandoned rather than a cat that's grown up in the wild, which would be feral. So maybe this game should have been called Feral.
So this,
I don't think there's any humans around.
So this cat has never had an owner.
Well, I don't know. I've not actually got to the end, and it could be spoilers, I guess. But no, it starts when the game starts. You're the cat in this little alcove with your three cat pals, and it's really cool because the first thing you do is interact with your cat pals. And I don't know if you played it on the PlayStation 5, Lottie.
I did, yes.
So the feedback through the controller is amazing. You can feel the cats like purring through the controller,
wow.
And even like they kind of like rub up against each other, you know, when they like gum things, yeah. When they rub up against them, you can kind of feel that motion going across the controller, really like delicate, gentle movement. So it works really well with the PlayStation 5 controller.
Yeah, you can also, when the cat goes to sleep, because there's all these little spots where the cat can have a little sleep on, the cat will start purring, so the controller hums in time with purring.
And there's other things you can do that are very well observed cat behavior, like you can scratch at things to be really annoying, like to annoy your owner basically into doing things. You can, I'm presuming you can you swipe stuff off tables? I mean, this is...
Yep.
Yeah, you can be an asshole, yeah. Like a true cat. Yeah.
One of my favorite little bits is that there are paper bags hidden around some of the levels. And when you put a paper bag on the cat's head, the controls invert. To like demonstrate that the cat is now like, oh, I'm confused, but I really want this paper bag. This is mine now.
It's like when my cat had one of the cones of shame on. She'd try and walk backwards to get out of it, even though it was attached. She just walked backwards around the room. It's kind of like that. So yeah, they really pick up on cat behaviors.
Well, you are aware that's your fault, right? Because you did that.
Yeah, I did do that. We felt very bad, but she had to get spayed. So
it's clever, isn't it? Because having a game based around being a cat, not just having a cat in, taps into this whole kind of internet subculture, really, of cats and cat owners, and people who are just delighted at seeing, you know, things they love recreated on screen, and you get to be them. You can see the joy coming through. All of us who have looked after cats or owned cats coming through as we see these things kind of represented on the screen.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, really, because Stray first came into the public consciousness with like a short video clip of a cat wandering around a sci-fi landscape. Everyone's like, that looks amazing. And I don't know whether that the game then got financed after a little, you know, sizzle reel or something. But I just remember this video going viral of the cat wandering around a sci-fi location with the robots and stuff. And then everyone going, this looks amazing. And then, you know, a year or a couple of years later, Stray finally comes out.
It's so wonderfully atmospheric. There we go. It's so wonderfully atmospheric. The soundtrack is great because you'll have like this really fast paced, very techno beat soundtrack. And then slowly it will start to ebb away. And you'll just have these moments of silence where you can just hear the city and just everything, like the way it's like stuck in this almost kind of like false night and all the harsh neon lights. And when you look back down on where you've been and there are just certain sections are glowing while the abandoned parts of the city are just completely dark, and the way it just seems to go on for like miles upon miles, but it's actually a lot smaller than you think it is.
It does look beautiful. I remember saying in the live stream I did of it that, you know, I could turn the camera any way and it would be a beautiful screenshot for a PC wallpaper.
I love the ability, smaller games like this, because it's only kind of several hours long, isn't it? 6 hours long or something?
I would say that you can check out Eurogamer's Stray Length Guide. How long is it? I would say that the main storyline is 5 to 6 hours.
Okay.
And then if you want to do collectibles and side quests, you're going from between 8 to 11, and that is because there are two very time specific trophies / achievements which you have to do, and possibly going longer than that if you want to get all the trophies, because one of them involves you playing the game within a very short amount of time.
I see. But it's still quite, there's a sense that it's still an independent-ish kind of game. It's not one of these big blockbuster style games, even though it's a game everyone's looking for. And I love the ability games like this have to capture the mood of everyone. Is it too early to say game of the year? Would it rank up there for either of you as that kind of thing?
I think it will be a close contender. At the moment, I'm still going with Tunic.
Okay.
I really enjoy it. I don't think it would be game of the year for me yet, but it's up there. It's a beautiful game. I really like it. But for me, maybe at times it can be a little bit too slow. I like a little bit more action. It's really nice to be able to explore and take your time with it. But for something that to really grab me, and maybe a little bit more intensity sometimes.
I love that it's also been having a profound effect on other or people's actual pets in their house. There was a wonderful roundup story on the site this week of various Twitter threads where people have filmed their pets reacting to the on-screen Stray gameplay. Obviously, cats have seemed particularly intrigued in the way they sit right in front of your telly and just look and get in the way they do. But I've also seen some dogs charging the screen, basically, which is quite terrifying when they suddenly go for it. And you see the sort of pool of pixels move on the screen as they start pouring it.
Yeah. You see, my dog would just completely ignored it. And if I tried to get her attention, she'd just look at me as if to say, "Are you stupid? That's not real. I'm going back to sleep. Leave me alone."
A very clever dog. Okay, moving on. In Features Land this week, I had a quick look at a game called Undergrave, which is a roguelike from a studio called Wired Dreams. Basically, you occupy a very small kind of tiled space, and when your pixelated ninja hero moves, the enemies move as well. And if they end up next to you, you take a hit. So it's a game of predicting some moves ahead so you don't get kind of stuck in corners, and you have various special abilities that help you do this. I really like the game. It's got lovely style, particularly, you know, in samurai films where they slice the katana through some bamboo and you're like, they haven't done anything. Mm-hmm. And then it like slides apart. You can do this in the game. So you can kind of, if you dash through a bunch of enemies, you're like, and then they slide apart. Well, so it has this lovely kind
amazing
of effect. I found it a bit thin. I've only played it for an hour, but I could do with a few more systems or something bigger. It was quite reserved sometimes when I could do with it getting a bit bigger, but maybe I just have to get a bit further on. We also had a couple of State of the Game pieces go up on Eurogamer this week. One was for Mini Motorways, which was Christian Don, and he wrote this. And his daughter started playing the game, so he's sort of been revisiting it by through her eyes almost. Not that he's kind of stopped playing it. And he runs us through a couple of years. It came out in 2019. So he runs us through a few years of updates to this game as he kind of reflects on what it means to him now in that wonderful Christian Donlan way that he has, and making it sound far more intelligent than maybe it is. I'll take that back. We also had
don't let me hear you say that.
We also had Emma Kent look at Valheim for us, a game that she's been playing off and on for a few years now. Ian, were you a Valheim player?
I loved Valheim. Me and my friends, we had a bit of a Valheim posse. And we absolutely rinsed it. We played it so much that I kind of got Valheim burnout. Okay. It's one of the problems with early access games, I find. They come out in early access. I really like it. I play it loads. And then burnout. And then by the time it's actually finished, I'm like, I can't really be bothered to go back. So, I don't know. I've not read that State of the Game piece yet. I don't know what state it is.
She comes to a lot of the conclusions, actually, that you just hinted at.
Right.
That rinsed it thing that you said. I think that's the same thing for her there. I think there's that exciting point at the beginning where you're building up to tackling all the content that the game has. You know, you're leveling up your characters, you're getting new equipment and that kind of thing. But then there comes a point, probably not that far on, but still sort of dozens of hours in, where you beat the content the game has. And then you're looking around for something more. And the more in this case, and this is Emma's criticism, I think, the more in this case hasn't really arrived, because developer Iron Gate had to kind of pivot to technical updates because of the size or the amount of people that started playing this game. They wanted to make sure it was working for everyone. So they switched to that instead of content updates, really. So now I think people are still waiting for... The thing is that the game kind of promised that these content updates would come, rather than just said, look, it's finished as it is. So I think people are still waiting for more stuff, and they're caught in a kind of limbo, I think is the word that she...
I think there was, like, when I was playing it, there was about two or three biomes that were kind of, the framework was there, but there was no enemies, no bosses or anything. And as far as I can tell, I could be wrong, I don't think they've actually added any of these new biomes yet.
Biomes is the thing that Emma is really keen on. So she loves it. She's played it for something like 230 hours. And like you, she's really keen on it. It's just that beyond building projects for themselves, there's not that much for her and her friends to do in the game at the moment. And that kind of...
Not once you've got all the bosses out of the way. It is just a grind and a building grind. But as a big fan of VR, I have to shout out a flat to VR mod for this game. Valheim looks beautiful anyway, but being able to be there, Viking height, playing it in first person, is pretty wonderful.
How tall is Viking height?
I haven't done that for a while. It's about the same height as a normal human.
Maybe a bit bigger. Just a little bit bigger.
You've got to account for the horns on the helmet, I guess.
Like snail eyes with the eyes on the top.
Yeah. When you tap them, they go back in. But no, I would recommend trying it out in VR if you have the option to download the mod in a VR headset, because it's just such a beautiful, relaxing game when you're not fighting things anyway. And to be able to be in that world and wander around first person and actually feel like you're in there, it's a really, really, it feels like it fits, it feels like it was meant to be.
It's quite a transformational thing, isn't it, when you go from, when you put a VR mod on something and suddenly you step into a world that you've only ever seen from kind of far back.
I've been covering quite a few VR, flat to VR mods on VR Corner recently, because there's not many big VR games out, but they're amazing. They're like, they take all these old favorite experiences like GTA, Red Dead Redemption I've done
recently. So you can get really up close to the back of the horses.
You can you can see what's under their tail. You actually can, there was a flat screen to VR mod for Elden Ring, which I did, and you can actually look right in and look under Torrent's tail. And they have modelled a butthole onto Torrent.
Just in case.
hard-hitting games journalism, investigative games journalism there. Yes, Torrent has a butthole.
Before we move on to some of the other videos that you and the team have been looking at this week, there was also Ed Nightingale and Christian Donlan had a nice chat about Rez, which Ed had never played. And actually, he played in VR this week. Have you played it in VR?
I have played it in VR. Not a huge amount. I bought it when it was on sale. And I'm one of those people that buys a load of things and then like dips in and out. Because, you know, we have to play a lot of games for our job, so it's hard to stick with something for a long time. But I have played, I haven't gone super in depth with it, but I've put a couple.
Yeah, Ed was a big fan. It's a really nice conversational format piece where they're just talking about the game, chucking ideas kind of back and forth. I love this style of piece. It kind of teases deeper information out rather than kind of forces it at you. It just comes across really nicely, and they're both clearly fans of the musical kind of rhythm action sort of genre, and it's just nice hearing them talk about that. So over in video land this week, obviously Stray has been a big part of your week. You streamed I think the first 3 hours of it, which is pretty much half a full chunk of the game. And Aoife also did a review of the game, I think.
Yes. So Monday, we did, me and Aoife, we recorded a review chat. Aoife had played it to completion at that point. So we like to have these little review chats every so often where we just have a casual chat about the game. One of us will ask questions, the other, whatever. That went up for the review embargo. And then the next day, there was the streaming embargo. So I sat down and played the first 3 hours. And basically everything that Aoife said, I agreed with about the game. It's
because Aoife's a big cat lover, isn't she?
Yes, her cat Kitty is an actual stray as well. So in her old street, the owners of Kitty abandoned her. I think they moved house, abandoned him even, and I think they moved house. And he was astray for a while, going between gardens and getting food from the neighbors. And then Aoife kind of brought him in and homed him, and you know, and now he's theirs, Seb's and Aoife's.
Wow. Well, we're good on Aoife, but I don't understand how cats get there in the first place. There, Ian. Sorry, you were also playing the Halo Infinite campaign this week. Campaign co-op, I should say, with Zoe. How was that?
Yes, that was really good. It's the Halo Infinite campaign co-op should have been in there from the start, to be honest, because this is another game that I played loads. I loved it when it first came out for the first month, and then I just haven't touched it again. And I feel like a lot of people are a bit like, yeah, it's been 8 months. Maybe it's a little bit too late. The vibes playing it in multiplayer with Zoe were great. It felt like playing previous Halo games in co-op. A lot of people, it would be their family tradition to play Halo games in co-op when they launch. I did it with my brother, Zoe, with her brother. It feels really nice. Zoe was playing PC. I was playing Xbox Series X, so the cross play was okay. It is in beta, and there was a point during that stream where I completely broke the game. I detached Master Chief's head from his body so I could spin around and see his floating arms and butt. So it's still a bit of a work in progress. I can see why they went into beta for it.
With your kind of reporting here, when you.
I'm just a big fan of butts, Bertie. What can I say? it's good. If you will be able to play it in four player co-op when if you are a member of the Halo Insider preview app, and when it finally releases to the public as well. So that might be a lot of fun playing with four players. We played it on normal mode, and the difficulty of the enemies and stuff didn't really scale up, so we were just having a lovely chat and flying through the game. So you probably want to put it on a quite high difficulty level. But you know, if you've been holding off playing Halo Infinite for the campaign co-op update, you won't be disappointed when you finally get to play it with a pal or a sibling.
Nice. And you're also talking of VR. You're also playing the Stanley Parable in VR, which, Lottie, I know you're a big fan of.
I love the Stanley Parable. It's one of my favourite games. The Ultra Deluxe version is absolutely brilliant. How far are you?
Well, I tend to record VR corners for about an hour and a half and then edit them down. So an hour and a half in, I got a couple of the endings.
Have you got to the new stuff yet?
No, okay. I don't think I managed to get to the new stuff. So I've not played the game since it first came out. So I'd forgotten a lot of it, basically.
Yeah. So there's a load of new endings, and
right.
I don't know if do you know about the famous glitch where you can drop to the bottom of spoilers for Stanley Parable. Do you know about the famous glitch in the original game where you could drop down to the bottom of like the area with the surveillance monitors in the monitor room?
I did not know. I know the area you mean, but I did not know about.
So I recommend attempt doing that glitch in the new version of the game.
Okay.
Wow. So,
all right, I will.
So, what does VR bring to it? Is it again a transformational kind of feeling, or?
Yeah, I mean, like Stanley Parable isn't really a super interactive game. You can't pick up and play with props or anything. But to be put into the shoes, well, Stanley doesn't have any shoes or legs, I don't think, from what I can remember. But to be put into Stanley's, you know, to be in those corridors and wandering around, it feels a bit more believable. You know, playing in flat games, you're kind of looking at experiences through a window. But in VR, you're being surrounded by it. So when the game plays those visual tricks, makes infinite corridors and, you know, doors appearing from nowhere or disappearing, it feels like you're in a weird mind-bending maze. You know, it adds to the immersion a lot more.
I love that you called them flat games there. So we're like flat gamers.
Yes, well, I think flat games is a nice way to put it. Some people call them pancake games, you know, if you want to be... Oh, pancake gaming. So last
Sounds
year.
Sounds tasty.
You know? It does a bit. Flat games, I
guess. So also on the video channel this week, Zoe got nerdy about God of War again and recapped mm-hmm. the entire lore of the 2018, I think it was 2018, God of War that came out ahead of Ragnarok coming this November, presumably.
Yes, well, I don't think it was the entire of the lore because it's part one and Zoe and Richard are busy working on part two, which is going to go up either Friday or Saturday. So either today, if you're listening to it when this podcast comes out, or tomorrow.
Awesome. Zoe also continued a very spooky playthrough of Madison, which I looked at a bit of and it does look genuinely freaky. And Aoife was playing Two Point Hospital, I believe. Is that in sort of preparation?
I think it might have been, you know, just getting used to the hospital surroundings. It's a bit of a way to have a bit of a control on the situation.
Prepared immersion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So also this week, which you probably don't know about, but on Wednesday, I've put up a piece about Saints Row, the new Saints Row reboot, Saints Row 2022. I don't know what the correct search term is at the moment. I'm still trying to work that out. But I got to play the first 4 hours
how
of
it?
That.
Yeah.
So it's Saints Row, you know, like it's a game that is stupid. My whole video revolves, it's like 11 stupid things you can do in Saints Row.
What's the stupidest thing you can do?
Well, it's a bit of a shonky game. So one of the stupidest things I did was try to get run over by a train. And so I positioned myself in front of an oncoming train and, you know, expected to get insta-killed. But instead it just hits you and you're still stood up and it slides you along the train track and you just slide along on this on the front of this train and then all of a sudden it'll ping you up into the sky. So, but then you have this wingsuit ability, so you can then activate your wingsuit and fly around the tower,
like
the city of Santa
Elisa. A super exploit there.
I guess, yeah. It may be patched out by the time the game comes out, if the developers watch my video. But yeah, if you've played any of the Saints Row games before, I know a lot of the people, when they saw the reboot, they were like, oh, this a mature reboot of Saints Row. I don't think I'm going to like this. It's, you know, I want my dick jokes and stuff. it's exactly the same Saints Row that you know from before gameplay wise. It's kind of like it is a bit of a cross between three. So three and four went super wacky, and one and two were like gang warfare, still with immaturity and uber violent, but a bit more serious. Whereas three and four went cartoony, and it is a good mix between those two halves. But if you like to switch your brain off, blow up NPCs with rocket launchers, drive cars at walls and watch stupid physics do something weird and unexpected, then you'll like it. You know, if you're a university student, you sit in your dorm and light up a bifter and play that, you'll have the best time. But if you're going into it looking for like characters that you give a shit about or like a story that you actually pay attention to, it's not going to be that.
Okay. Let's take a quick look at Digital Foundry, and here's where I try and understand what Digital Foundry has been doing. So Digital Foundry tested the new Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Origins 60 FPS updates on PS5 and Xbox Series S and X and loved them, called them transformational. So if you're fans of those games and you fancy dipping back in, maybe now's the time. Oliver McKenzie put together a guide about how to get the best out of using the Steam Deck docked, which is a bit of a tongue twister. I didn't even realize you could use it docked. That's how much of a noob I am. Has anyone played on a Steam Deck here? No, nor have I.
Yes.
I
did not enjoy it. It is very heavy, and I have very small hands, and I ended up having to just put it on a table and just kind of
almost docked
play with it. Yeah, because it was making my wrists hurt.
Wow.
In a really weird way. And also, to be perfectly honest, it reminds me of the cheap GameCube controller I bought from Game for £3 because I wanted to play a game. I look at it and I just see that controller.
Not
a big fan of the Steam Deck. Just buy a new PC. Okay.
I feel like that awkwardness
get more use out of the PC than you will the Steam Deck. It can do multiple things.
Fair enough. I feel like that awkwardness is part of its charm in a strange way.
No.
Good. You've saved me a couple of £100.
So Will Judd from Digital Foundry has also gone big on mechanical keyboards, which is definitely his thing. He is the person to talk to if you want to know about mechanical keyboards.
I actually own a mechanical keyboard that Will Judd recommended.
Likewise, I'm going to hold it up. It's a bit. I'm going to hold it up slowly because it's a bit dirty. Okay. But there you go. Whoa, and then back down again.
I think that's the same one. Is it an Extrify? Extrify?
I have no idea what brand it is. It's been so...
Mine looks like that.
No, nice. Yours is a bit longer. I've turned a lot of the lights off on mine, but they light up when I type. So each of the keys lights up when I type, which is cool. I really like it. Will Judd, it's an obsession with him. So he keeps up with all of the ones. he's written about five of the incredible mechanical keyboards he's tested this year. One of them is almost transparent. It looks amazing. It's almost like it's made of jelly.
That's like back in the day when, you'd be able to get crystal Xboxes and stuff. It reminds me of that.
He's also written a guide about making your own keyboard, if that's something you want to do. Because quite a lot of them, they're customizable. That's a part of their charm as well. And he's also put together his picks for the top 15 mechanical keyboards this year. And that's with a range of sort of angles, whether you're looking to game on them, type or code. Typing and coding, I thought it was the same thing. But anyway, regardless. In Newsland, and here's where we whisk through a load of things. So I was glad to see that Minecraft will not allow NFTs. Hooray!
Yay!
Mojang posted a blog about this Wednesday night, has basically outlawed blockchain use. Meanwhile, Square Enix is going to be releasing Final Fantasy NFTs.
Of course. It's a low bar, and they always somehow manage to stumble over it,
If there's a games company that can't read the room, it's them and NFTs at the moment. Jeez.
There was a bunch of FIFA 23 news this week. Remember, this is the last year that series is going to be called FIFA. From next year, it's going to be EA Sports FC. So the biggest news probably is that the PC version is now going to be the same as the newer console versions and not some neutered, odd kind of port, which it has been for years. So at long last, hooray! The game is also getting a new power shot. So if you hold both the bumpers down and hold shoot at the same time, your character kind of winds up, I'm doing this with my fingers, winds up a power shot, which you then have to manually aim. So it sounds quite tricky, but it gives you the potential to score, you know, spectacular goals, which I, for me, is what FIFA is all about. Mm. I don't care if I lose by 10 goals. I just want to score one good one. And then, and then I'm sorted.
I think the last FIFA game I played was FIFA 96 on the Super Nintendo.
Okay. So you're effectively up to date. If you're not, you're not.
Yeah, true. It's just it's the same game, isn't
football.
It? Just slightly updated.
So in other news, Bruce, there's some other FIFA news as well, but I won't go into it. Bruce Straley, the co-director of Uncharted 2 and 4 and The Last of Us, so like a big name, Naughty Dog big name, who quit development, is coming back to development and has set up a new studio called Wildflower, which is apparently going to make smallish games with an emphasis on like being creative and kind of unique. And he's making all the right noises about like being inclusive and equitable and all this kind of stuff. So let's see what happens there. No Man's Sky is nearly 6 years old. Wow.
What?
And has just welcomed a huge new update called Endurance, which revamps freighters, essentially allowing you to make really cool space bases. Ian, are you a No Man's Sky player?
I've played quite a lot of it, especially in VR. And in fact, I'm a member of a couple of VR Discord groups, and someone was saying this new update allows you to put windows in the space freighter. Wow. So when you're playing in VR, you can just wander around the space freighter and then just stand by the window and enjoy looking out at the expanse of the cosmos. So I might go back and try it again in VR now this update is done. But yeah, I really like it.
Awesome. Elsewhere, in slightly weird news this week, but I like it, maybe. Blizzard is offering Diablo 4 beta access and a digital copy of the game for free if you get a tattoo. Presumably...
Any tattoo?
That just sounds like they want to brand people.
Presumably a Diablo 4 tattoo. But I was looking into this, and it's like they've just got a flash sheet of tattoo design ideas. And I looked at the picture of one person getting one, and it was like of a spider, like a Black Widow-type spider. And there was no Diablo branding on it that I could see. So maybe it's not such a bad thing. I don't know. Depends how people look at it.
It is a very weird marketing choice.
I love games, but I wouldn't brand myself for them.
No, that reminds me, I went to an EVE Online EVE FanFest in Iceland one year. And as part of their, in the building where they hosted it, they had tattoo stations set up where you could get yourself an EVE tattoo. And many people were. I think those chairs were busy pretty much the whole FanFest long of people getting various EVE designs on them. Anyway, this Diablo-related tattoo shenanigans is happening across Europe as well as North America and Australia as well. And it's coming to London to a tattoo studio called Noir Ink. I don't know where that is. On 13th of August, if you're interested.
Do you have to pay for the tattoo?
A good question. I assume so.
Because if you do... You're not actually getting, really, you're not getting anything for free.
You're just being tricked
into getting a Diablo tattoo.
You heard it here first. Lottie sees through the marketing ploy. Yeah. Also, Doom creator and Quake creator, we can see this on in Ian's background. He's got a picture of Doom, so I'm hoping Ian's going to be excited about this. John Romero is making a new FPS with a, quote, major publisher. Apparently, that's all we know. He hasn't said anything more. Are you excited, Ian?
I'm very excited. I've got another Doom picture up there that's signed by John Romero, actually, a Doom picture. I'm a big fan. Recently played his Sigil levels. He made like a kind of official, unofficial Doom 2 expansion, which kind of followed on the story of Doom 2 that you can download on Switch or Xbox, wherever you get the new version of the re-releases of Doom. You can download WADs for them. And Sigil's really good. You know, John Romero is a legend. So let's hope that he's got this amazing game cooking up in the background.
He's a very nice guy. I've met him on a couple of occasions. And he's just quite he's quite kind of calm and mild mannered, which goes against this kind of image of him. He's very nice and kind of gentle.
I love looking at all the pictures of him back in the days of Doom, just lounging around. They had this like house that they're going to convert into a studio, and they're just lounging around having the best time making Doom. Shit, to have been there.
He just wants to play Quake all the time. I think he still plays it almost religiously. So if you want to play Quake religiously, so they're hiring. This is Romero Games. They're over in Ireland, and they're looking particularly for people with Unreal Engine 5 experience. So if that's you and you want to go and play Quake all day with John Romero, plus make a game.
Do they need any video producers?
I think so. I don't know. Don't you dare. So there's going to be a TV adaptation of Obsidian's Grounded game. Apparently, I was quite excited to find out. I like Grounded.
Live action or animated?
I didn't
animated.
Look at that bit. I guess maybe it's going to be animated because live action is considerably tricky, but maybe it's not.
You're going to have some weird green screen effects in there if it's going to be live action.
Or you could just hire massive spiders.
I mean, that is a choice. Yes.
I opened up my garage the other day and a spider fell from the door frame onto my face and crawled across my cheek.
Wow. How are you? How are you with spiders? Are you
grim? I'm not too bad. I don't like them crawling on my face, but
I don't know how that is. Obviously the game itself was inspired by a film, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and among other films as well. So it's sort of coming full circle, but I'm excited to see it. Great game. I really like it. And also, and Ian, I think you're going to be excited about this as well. Lego has announced an Atari 2600 set that includes a life-size replica of the console, a joystick, three cartridges that you can actually slot into the machine. It doesn't play games. A cartridge holder, a little tableau of a person playing an Atari that pops out of the machine when you slide the cover back, and little dioramas for each of the games, which seem to be sort of presented on the cartridges. I'm not sure how they're, or maybe they're a separate thing. It's £200, £210, which is actually the exact same price as an Xbox Series S. But it's really cool.
I mean, yeah, it looks cool. I think it was one of Liv's first articles, the news piece about it. And I was looking at the picture, I was like, yeah, that looks really cool. But honestly, that amount of money, yeah, I'd rather buy something I could play games on because I have an actual Atari 2600, so that I can play games on. So, but you know, if you're a Lego fan, that's cool.
It's got something like almost 2,600 pieces, appropriately.
Okay, so it'll keep you busy.
It'll keep you busy for a while. One to get for Dad for Christmas. I don't really, or Mum for Christmas. You know, whatever. That's everything for us this week. Thank you so much, Lottie, for being here.
Thank you for having me. Sorry, I didn't realise that was a prompt.
And thank you so much, Ian, for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me as well.
I'm Bertie. That was Weekly. And we will be back next week with more. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.